Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam and Ann here, sitting with David Niles, Juan on the buttons, Jim guarding the door, checking our audio. We have a very special episode for you today where we talk about Jesus. It's very different from all the 258 episodes that we've had thus far.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about him in his Eucharistic form today.
I'm excited.
In film.
In film.
His filmed Eucharistic form specifically. Yeah, so.
Distinctions are always good.
Stand by.
I'm pumped about it.
Stand by.
Dave.
Really, the whole episode is about Jesus today.
Isn't that what it's about?
It is, every episode. Yeah. But, like, very, it's very literal today. You know, like, some days when you read the readings, and you, like, really it's obvious how the Old Testament connects with
the new?
With the gospel.
Right.
And you're like, hey, I got it today, guys. Don't worry about it. Today I got it.
Hey, Dr. Scott Hahn, don't worry.
Right. Like, that's how today's episode is going to be in general. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about...
At least I think so. We'll see.
Yeah, I think you're making some presumptions.
Hey!
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Let's talk about Krupnik.
Okay. So that is what we're drinking today.
Yes.
By the way, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Jesus is born. Can I just share with you, like, I've had a couple thoughts about... I didn't tweet them all. I resisted the urge. One of them I did tweet, and I'll start with that one.
I know what it is, and I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Did
like,
you?
We need to go to the bishop about this.
I'm surprised that it doesn't...
I haven't
heard of it. I'm sure it exists.
Right.
I just haven't heard of it. So I was thinking that has anyone ever heard of a devotion to the pre-born Jesus? Because there's a devotion to the infant Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the pre-born Jesus? And... If there is official devotions out there, I just haven't heard of them, and I really hope that there are. Because it just seemed to me like this would be a great devotion to help battle the war against abortion. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, totally.
When you tweeted that, I was like, Dave, well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I even retweeted you.
You did. But you were, I think, the only one.
I got you, bro.
I just have not. I'm not famous.
It's okay. I got you.
You've had a tweet go viral recently.
It's like it doesn't matter.
You asked a question about, like, what was it? Like, does Mary lead you closer to Jesus?
Yeah.
And would you get, like, thousands of comments or something?
The frustrating thing about Twitter is I will post something that I think is brilliant.
Dumb. Twitter, everyone on Twitter is an idiot. That's the thing about it.
Like, I will tweet something and be like, this could make...
This could be my best tweet ever.
This is brilliant. I'm surprised.
If you were inside my mind, you would understand.
And I'll tweet it and I'll get, like, one like. You know, and
it's probably like me or Haley.
Right.
Or maybe Pamela.
Right. And it's like, I appreciate the sympathy, like, thank you for being my friends. You know, and then I'll say something that's...
It's not even a sympathy like, it's just like, yeah, you have to like it.
Right.
Because we're all best friends.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah. So, and then, like, I say something very obvious. I'll tweet something very obvious that's not profound, that's not something that's mind-blowing, that's very obvious.
Yeah.
That Mary leads us to Jesus. And then it's like, of likes. I'm like, wait, what? I opened my phone and all of a sudden I was like,
all of a sudden you're Matt Walsh.
Yeah.
You know,
like, what? What happened? I just have like 500 likes. You know, it was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the other thing I was thinking about.
Guess what? Let me just tell you this.
Okay, tell me.
It means nothing.
It means something to me.
It means absolutely nothing.
Because I can be like, I'm friends with that guy.
Well, I'm glad that gives
who
you
has all those comments. I'm friends with him.
Okay, what was your other ones?
I live very close to him. Like, I live a sandwich away.
What was the other thing?
So the other thing I was thinking about is just like picturing Jesus being born. Okay, and imagine you are one of the shepherds who show up. And I have to believe that the shepherds who came, like, okay, like they were aware that Jesus was the Messiah, but I still think that maybe they didn't have a full understanding of who the Messiah was going to be. I don't know whether they realized this is the second person of the Trinity. I mean, the Trinity had not been revealed to humanity yet. Okay, so they probably didn't realize that they're holding God in their arms. But for us who do know that, who have the benefit of divine revelation, to like imagine yourself time traveling back.
In a DeLorean?
Could be in a DeLorean. Could be in like a really fast donkey.
Wow, that'd be,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
talking about like Shrek donkeys.
Yeah, I mean like a sweet donkey. I feel like most donkeys are asses. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, however you get there is irrelevant to what I was thinking about. I was just picturing myself, honestly, as as one of these shepherds, and imagining that you are sitting there holding the Christ child. And as you're holding the Christ child, he smiles at you. Okay? And thinking about how that would affect the rest of your life, knowing that God had smiled upon you, that God had looked you in the face and had just like found you to be you have pleased him, and he smiled, like the profundity of Christ, that you have brought joy to Christ and that he smiled at you.
Well, no wonder you didn't tweet this, dude. That was like way more than 240 characters.
Right. I mean, I would have left out about the DeLorean donkey and stuff, but I mean, something's got to be trimmed.
Hey, here's something we need to give an update on. Okay. Our caroling. Dude,
the caroling was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. We are definitely doing it next year.
This is a tradition that we are starting.
I went caroling twice.
Yes. We tried to, but
you were going to come, but it was like family thing. Just didn't work out.
It was really more of a hangover of the midnight mass.
Yeah.
That's
you guys went to midnight mass.
Dude, that's the longest Minahan tradition that we know of. in the family.
Oh, really?
Like, my great-grandfather, I know for a fact...
I've never been to...
took his kids to Midnight Mass. And so, like, and all through the generations, from that point, from my great-grandfather down to me,
yeah,
I've always gone to Midnight Mass. So that... I have not been to a Christmas Mass that wasn't a Midnight Mass.
In your whole life?
That I can recall. No.
Really?
It was always Midnight Mass.
Wow.
And so... I got to give a shout out because hopefully maybe in, you know, 15 years our kids
Dude,
listen to this.
I will tell you that the whole day of Christmas is already rough enough.
Dude, it's exhausting because you get home.
It's rough.
You get home at 1:30 and then you had to put your kids down and then.
And then you do like the other stuff.
All the stuff that you have to do.
That a parent has to do.
And you don't get to bed till 3:00. And guess what? What time your kids get up? Because it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, so it's exhausting, but I got to give a shout out to my kids because they killed it in Midnight Mass. Luke and Jude both stood. They were quiet. They were prayerful. Anna slept through it, but, you know, she's 3.
That's
so,
okay. I probably would have slept through it.
Leo didn't sleep at all through it. He stayed up through the whole thing.
Well, how did Haley do?
She's exhausted. She's still exhausted.
Just
and
beautifully.
Rightfully.
She did beautifully.
She did amazing.
I think the word that you're looking for is she did beautifully.
She did. She's still exhausted because our kids got up super early.
Picturesque, maybe. Maybe that's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, probably so. But
yeah.
So caroling. So we did. We went to caroling. We had an over-under ahead of time of 3 doors slamming on us.
And I took the over.
And I did as well. We were fools because we had...
Yeah, dude, we were idiots.
Yes.
We didn't have... Nobody slammed the door on us. And afterwards, I was thinking, why did I think anybody was going to slam the door on us?
Because what we did is we put all of our cute kids at the very front.
Right.
It's not like us, not our ugly mugs.
And we're phenomenal singers. And when I say that, I mean Pamela and I and Haley are phenomenal singers.
Well, and Anna. Don't you throw out Anna.
Anna, you know, to be honest, I'm just not very familiar with Anna's.
Everybody at St. Benedict's is very familiar with Anna singing.
She's like several pews away from me, and when I sing, I don't know if you know this, but I sing. Okay, so, like I'm over there singing.
So is Anna.
Okay, well, I'm a man.
yeah, but we did. Like, it was so much fun. It was so much fun to spread Christmas joy
yeah.
to other people. We had a great time, and we Pamela put together, I guess.
We made women cry, literally. I mean, that's not even... Like, there were women who cried at the door because we were there singing to them. It was amazing.
It was very easy. It's a simple thing to do. That was
everybody loved it. There was one guy who you could tell was standing in the doorway, like out of pure courtesy and like, all right, you're here. But what the most beautiful, we sang 3 songs. We sang the first verse of 3 songs. So it was like
the way to do it.
It was very quick and easy. But by the end of our 3rd song, a smile had slowly crept onto his face.
He couldn't help it.
And like, he was smiling by the time we were done singing, even though he didn't, in the beginning, was like super annoyed.
Right.
He liked it at the end.
It was great. When we get back,
yeah.
we have to at least talk a little bit about this Krupp night. We have
yes.
not
Yeah, we
done
will.
That.
We will. Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back. This segment of the Catholic Man Show is brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com for heirloom quality home altars, crucifixes, and rosaries.
It's also the only place where you can get the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show. Type in promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases. TCMS for the Catholic Man Show. CatholicWoodworker.com. If that's currency, I'm a poor man on the left side.
You're like Shroot Bucks
yeah.
over here.
On the left side, totally. And I'm like the dollar on the right side. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is David Niles. I'm dollar on the right, Shroot Bucks on the left. I don't know if you heard that.
The funny thing is,
we were measuring ear movement.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I'll edit all that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I know.
They won't know.
But I knew that you would, Adam, and I didn't want our audience to miss out on the stuff that goes on between segments. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe they did. Let's talk about Krupp night, though.
Okay.
Because
so,
this is not the first time we've had Krupp night on the Catholic Man Show.
Correct. So, but we have the 2020 Krupp night.
edition.
Right. So our listeners are familiar with the Niles Krupnik tradition.
For the new ones, Juan, cut it out.
You got to turn off the audio on that webcam if you're going to use it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, every year
I shamed Juan right there. Like
that
it was like Luke, cut it out. Sorry, Juan. That was just my dad voice coming in, which I apologize for.
Keep your dad voice, please, in the closet.
You're right. Well,
during the show.
During the show.
Yeah.
I apologize, Juan.
Not when you're with your children.
Right.
When you're being a dad. Anyway.
Krupnik.
So every year, there's a Niles family tradition that the men of the Niles family get together and we make a batch of Krupnik.
What is Krupnik, Dave?
Krupnik? Great question, Adam. Krupnik is a Polish dessert liqueur. It was invented by the Benedictine monks in Poland, and in World War II was used for all kinds of things. It was, if you've ever seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, they sort of used it like Windex in that movie. You know, like the dad, he just sprays Windex on everything. So literally, they would use it to disinfect things. They would use it as an anesthetic. Thank you. Yeah. The reason why they would use it to disinfect is not because it's very necessarily high in alcohol. It's not. This would be really fall into the category of a liqueur. Okay. It's not even close to being 40% alcohol.
Really?
No, not even close. We don't know exactly what it is, but it's a third of the recipe is honey. So a third of it is honey. It is probably about 20% alcohol is like a close guess.
I didn't know that.
But the reason it's antibacterial is because it's a third honey. Honey itself is antibacterial. Honey is like a incredible substance. You know, like we were saying earlier, that you can eat 1,000-year-old honey because it never goes bad, ever. In like everdom, it will like turn into a dry powder
in everdom. Juan, put that as a lower third.
Yeah, but honey is like incredible, and it's inherently antibacterial. It's this amazing product of nature, and it's delicious. Mm-hmm. So in this recipe, there is alcohol. We use Everclear as the alcohol, but it's like not very much by total volume. You see what I'm saying? But when you drink it, you say like, whoa, that's a powerful taste. And it's very common for people when they taste it to think that's a strong taste. It must be strong in alcohol. It's actually not. It does have alcohol in it. But the strong taste you're tasting are spices like mace and allspice and clove and ginger and cinnamon.
Is there nutmeg?
And nutmeg. Yes. Thank you. So it's invented by the monks.
Because all things good to drink are invented by monks.
Right. So wildflower honey. So wildflower honey, vanilla pod, cinnamon sticks, ground nutmeg, cloves, mace, allspice, peppercorns, orange and lemon peel, water, and pure grain alcohol. Those are all of the ingredients in the Niles recipe of Krupnik. If you go to Poland and you try and you order Krupnik, it is much sweeter.
Than this?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
It's like much more of a dessert liqueur.
Mm, okay.
I much prefer the recipe that we have.
Because it tastes like Christmas.
It's very Christmassy.
Yeah.
And it's also more manly. One time I was in New York, in like Poland Town, New York. And so I went to this liquor store, and like, sure enough, they had several bottles of Krupnik. So I bought my dad, this is like kind of right as soon as we were making this a tradition, and I bought him a good bottle of real Krupnik from Poland. It was like in Polish and everything on the bottle. So you knew it was legit.
Right. 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 There's no way somebody could forge that.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because like people don't speak Polish. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So anyway, I brought it home and we tried it. And we all agreed that actually we like the version we make better. The version that we, you know, it's like the real stuff is very sweet and very desserty. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not something that I want to drink a lot. You know what I mean? This is something that's more of a, it's more spicy like we talked about. Not because it's not like hot spicy, but all of these spices.
Right.
Anyway, so this is
it. It probably more tastes more medicinal than the sweeter liqueur.
Right. It definitely smells. I mean, if you smell it, it has definitely a medicinal smell.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And if you want the recipe, all you have to do is become a patron. And
are you gonna give me the recipe to?
Well, we post it on Facebook on our Council of Man page every year.
Oh,
it's on there now, and it has been on there every year. My dad posts it on the Council of Man page on Facebook. So if you want the recipe, become a patron and
boom,
you have the recipe. I will tell you that it's not our recipe. It's a recipe we found on the internet. So it's not like we own the recipe. It's not like an old Niles family recipe. But this is the one we use, and this is the one that's so good. So there you go. Okay. There's probably people, let's be honest, you've been wanting to become a patron anyway for a while. And like, now you're just thinking, okay, fine. This is what's going to push me over the edge.
Either that or the course that we're doing with Carlo Broussard.
One or the two.
One of the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
the man gear.
We're the gear.
The man gear today, because
we
don't have very much time. We're talking. The man gear today is a picks.
Picks. Like pick up sticks.
No.
Okay.
It's like something completely different.
Like
from
a
that.
Guitar pick.
That you may be getting a little closer.
Okay.
But it's a picks. So picks is a sacred.
Luke got some pickup sticks in his stocking this
did
year.
He?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
How long has it been since you played?
Adam, we're talking about Jesus now, okay?
Sorry.
Like, yeah.
Have you played?
I
that?
Agree. Pickup sticks is cool.
It's fun.
Okay.
It is fun. Anyway, go ahead.
A picks is a sacred vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Vessel, I think, is.
I like it.
That's the right word. With which someone who is authorized to do so, a extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, transports the sacred Eucharist to
the source and summit of our faith.
Apart, like away from the church location to somebody, like maybe in a nursing home. Like, so if you're bringing communion to someone in a hospital or in a nursing home or someone who's homebound, this is the thing that which you do it. And it's worn most of the time when I've seen it, I don't know if it's always. Probably not
neck.
Always, but right. I see it worn around the neck, close to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so every now and then you may have seen people at church when they approach, when they were going to receive communion, they also open up like a little thing, and the priest places a host
right.
in there. They close it, and then they themselves go to receive communion.
It looks like a little lock box or something.
Right? Yeah, like a lock box.
Yeah.
So that's the man gear today, and really we brought this up because we're going to be talking about communion and Eucharistic miracles today with a guy, and
Angelo.
Angelo Labuti, yes, is his name. He's a director of photography and director of a very special film that we're going to be talking
also
about.
Also an animator of like all of, like a lot of
very cool
your
stuff.
Favorite Disney movies, basically.
Right. But we wanted to really encourage people who are so inclined and are allowed to by their diocese to maybe get involved in bringing communion to those who are unable to receive it otherwise on at least a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really is a beautiful ministry, I think.
To the elderly, to the imprisoned.
Right.
And is this something that's normally dedicated to a deacon? I believe it is, but I don't know that for certain.
To me, it's something ideally that it is done by a deacon.
Okay.
But, I mean, the truth is, there are more people in nursing homes who would like to receive communion than there are deacons to bring it to them. And if that's not the case in your diocese, then you're blessed with an abundance of deacons, and it is an incredible blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the reality is, that the deacons cannot bring communion to everyone in your diocese, or even in your town, who want to receive communion. And many, many people in nursing homes are forced to go for weeks without receiving communion, if they receive it at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In March of this year, I was in the hospital with
yeah,
a collapsed lung. Okay? And I was incredibly blessed to be in a Catholic hospital where there was a priest who brought me communion every day. I ended up being healed after 9 days. I spent a novena in the hospital and was cured on the Feast of St. David on my half-birthday.
through the efficacious prayers of myself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so over that time period, I really got to, I came to a deep appreciation of people who are in, who have this as a ministry of bringing communion to people who could not receive it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like I said, fortunate enough to be in a Catholic hospital where there are many priests serving
on
in this capacity.
Kind of thing.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But there are so many people across the world. There are no Catholic hospitals in their town. Okay? And they are members of your parish who maybe your priest is the only priest in the town. Okay? So this is just something that to prayerfully discern the Lord may be calling you to, and it's something that you should look for guidance from your bishop and from your pastor on whether or not it's appropriate for you to serve in this capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that the Lord is calling many, many people to serve Him in this way, to carry His body, soul, blood, and divinity to the people who cannot be physically present at the altar on Sunday.
I'm pumped to continue talking about this.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Carlo Broussard here from Catholic Answers. I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to be teaming up with the Catholic Man Show to offer a unique 9-lesson webinar on St. Thomas's 5 ways for proving God's existence. All through the month of January, starting January 4th, Adam, David, and I are going to be jumping into the Summa to study St. Thomas's 5 ways together. We're going to offer course notes along with a live Q&A session with you. So if you're interested, and for more information, be sure to visit thecatholicmanshow.com/Carlo. I hope to see you online January 4th. God bless.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Adam Minahan here sitting with David Niles. We want to give a special shout out to Juan Posada, our producer, sitting there pushing the buttons for us, helping us get this episode up and running into your earbuds or speaker or however you are listening. We also want to thank Jim Spencer, who was praying. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. We went through this segment once already.
Yeah.
And just spoiler alert, we've already done this once. Jim Spencer over here
full
to
disclosure.
My left, he was sitting here praying because our
We don't have one of those things where you're like, Catholic Man
clap.
Show, segment 3, take 2.
Clack, yeah. And Jim over here was sitting here praying because he realized we were on the struggle bus. And
I don't know if we were on the struggle bus or the struggle bus was on top of us.
Yeah, either way.
But it was a struggle.
It was a struggle, but I think we fixed it. Thanks be to God. Jim's prayers were answered. And we get to hang out with our good friend, Angelo Labuti. Yeah. Thank you
is.
So much. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend himself. Angelo, thank you again for your patience. I'm grateful that you are a virtuous man and that we were able to help you achieve virtue this evening with your patience. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Angelo, you and I, we have a little bit of a past only from mutual friends. Father Ripperger is a mutual friend of both of ours, and the last time Dave and I were hanging out with Father Ripperger, we were having a whiskey and cigar, and he had mentioned that he was doing some spiritual direction for some people in Hollywood, and me being, you know, the non-virtuous man that I am, I'm trying to think of, okay, who can I...
Ooh, I want
to
name drop. Who can I name drop?
Yeah,
name
who
drop?
Can I name drop? Who can I name drop? Who do I know? And I was like, I follow this guy on Instagram. His name is Angelo. I know that he's done, like, The Lion King and, like, you know...
I'll pretend like I know him.
I'll say just because I follow him, I know him. And I threw out your name, Angelo, and Father Ripper goes, yes, that man takes his faith very seriously. And, like, all of a sudden, it was, like, a very calm, like, understanding of, like, oh... this is he's very serious all of a sudden. So I'm grateful to just be in your presence.
Yeah,
Angela.
I mean any man who can impress Father Ripperger is an impressive man.
Yes. so thank you. So we're going to talk about Jesus today. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus
and a movie that you're making about
and a movie
him.
That you're making about Jesus.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about Eucharistic miracles. One thing I think we need to discuss is because I think that we don't Let me back up. One thing that I'm grateful for you is that you're a very good storyteller. You're a man who tells the story and it beautifully. And one thing I think that we struggle with in the Catholic Church is telling our story. We have so much beauty and depth and just truth within the Catholic Church that we don't sometimes just throw it out there and let people get a hold of it, you know, sink their teeth into.
Yeah.
And one of the worst our best kept secrets that is the worst problem I think we have is that we don't let people know about Eucharistic miracles, that there are such things as Eucharistic miracles
that happen today,
that happen all the time, you know, throughout the history of the church. And so what you're doing is you are producing or directing, and you're the director of photography on a movie that you are putting together on Eucharistic miracles.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally agree with you guys. And I mean, it's really sad how we have this gem, this treasure, and the church is not really showing. I mean, it's kind of they're more into showing things that are, I mean, less important. And I know something like this. I mean, that this is a big time. I mean, I think, and even from the scientific point of view, we have so many tangible proofs that we will shake any non-believer. I mean, and I think that we become shy or formal lukewarm. One thing for me, I don't know if it happened to you guys, and I really hate when I go to church and they talk about some saints and they say, there is a legend about this saint doing this one. I said, a legend? What is it, Harry Potter? A legend? what is it? Why are you talking, Luke?
What are we talking about? Unicorns or something?
Yeah, mean tradition.
Right.
This is what you mean.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, I mean, so Eucharistic miracles, let's start out with definitions. Dave, we like to define our terms. We're men. We like to define our terms and figure out what we're talking about here. So let's talk about, for those who may not understand or know of or have ever heard.
I think a lot of people know what a miracle is, but they might not be familiar with the genre
of Eucharistic miracles
and why those are important among the realm of miracles.
Right. So, Angela, why don't you give us a 101 of what Eucharistic miracles are?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, for the way I see it, I mean, everybody have their own take, but I think it's a beautiful gesture of love. As we know, Christ mentioned it. I mean, he will going to be willing to leave all the sheep to save the last sheep. And I think this is like a figure speaking. In this case, it was the first Eucharist miracle was done in Lanciano, a town in Italy. I've been there a few times. All my family is from there. I grew up there. And what happened was this monk, who was doing the mass at the moment of consecration, he had a lack of faith and no longer believing what as a Catholic would believe as transubstantiation of the Eucharist becoming a real body of Christ.
Right.
And so what happened on this moment, he saw this Eucharist start to bleeding. And eventually, as we've done some medical tests, we revealed some amazing things about DNA, that was really the heart of blood of Christ, and there's so many beautiful things. But I think, again, it's a show of love for Christ to bring back even the last sheep. And because we live in a world of science where I think led many people to go away, astray from our faith, because science sometimes, if you don't really know the faith really well, it kind of make you thinking that it is a contradiction. I mean, and I think when I'm saying meaning really well, it's like a really knowing the theological word and meaning for each of those words and what Christ meant when he said those words back then.
So are you this project you're working on, would you call it a movie or would you call it a documentary? What would you call it?
I call it more a movie because I try to take in a different kind of approach than what the usual documentary is. Usually in documentary you have two people, one people talking for hours and have some images that beautiful pictures that supposed to like make less boring that same shot over and over. And I think, and I mean, one things I really love when I study this life of Walt Disney, and because I mean I worked for Disney for so many years, I mean Disney, Marvel, all this kind of company, we had to understanding in his philosophy and how he was thinking about filmmaking. One thing he was used to doing was he was flying to New York to be on top of the Statue of Liberty, asking to himself why Americans love the statue so much, why they feel this bound with it. And he wanna try to make it in a movie style that the people can see his movie and be such bounded with what the story was. And he realized it was because, I mean, the history, I mean, that was such a huge salvation, is really brought it up them to be reborn as they were coming from a new country and go through so much of hard times, and that was finally this flower blooming on such a bad hardship. So same things, I mean, when I learned about when I working at Disney, Marvel, or this kind of company, or the kind of films, that I mean, the audience is so used today as with the video games and the live action, super action. And if today we are bringing a documentary where there is the tone is always the same, even if the tone is always fast or slow, it still becomes slow. Because it's so monotone, it repeats itself, and the people get so used to the pace, they become right. Boring.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to bring in is lots of more action, lots of different type of pace on the filmmaking that will it is how we approaching a movie. I mean, we have Act One, Act Two, Act Three, and it's going to be a journey. It's almost the Indiana Johnson. In a movie where our hero is going to a journey to find the final answer to helping a non-believer.
Yeah, see, that's a beautiful thing. Again, it goes back to we have the best story. It's not because it's like our story. It's like it's Jesus' story.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and all we have to do is be able to portray it, be able to tell it to other people. This is like, and this is the beautiful thing about Eucharistic miracles, right? Is it's not just about reaffirming the faith of the believers. It's not just about the Christians who already hold to the belief that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also for those who are the unbelievers who realize, like what you were saying, Angelo, who are maybe more the scientists, almost to the religion of science,
right?
You know, the people who are just believe like in the scientific method alone, which is interesting because let's talk about philosophy if you want to do that. But
right.
So
the scientific method was invented by a Catholic monk,
right? Exactly.
Okay. I mean,
but
just so you know,
they want to know that, you know, they want to know all of this, and it's like, well, this is if you look at this science, this is the only lead you to the truth. So it's in Christ's mercy and love that he continues to draw all of his creation towards
right.
him, you know, to love him and to serve him so that we can be with him in
the
next
life. I want to
pick
this up, this thread of faith and science on the other side of the break.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, joined via VMix call by Angelo Labuti, director and director of photography. I'm going to say director of photography and director of the film, the movie we're talking about today. Is there a title? What's the official title?
So now we just call it Eucharistic Miracles. We are going to developing it after. I mean, when the more things we are going to get.
Sure.
I mean, we know what we're going to do, and then we're going to change the title. But for now, just Eucharistic Miracles.
So you guys are doing, you're crowdfunding it still. You're very close to your goal. So everybody needs to go to christianfilm.com/...
Crowdfund
dash films. But just go to christianchannel.com and you can click on the crowdfunding tab, and so you can help get them over the edge, because they're very, very close. And I think I saw if you donate $100, you actually make it in the credits,
which would be pretty awesome. Yeah, but you're at 158,940 out of 175,000 that you're trying to raise. So you're very close, Angelo. I mean, you are very, very close to, and I love that you're getting the support that you are, because this is a big amount, yet not very much, actually, when it comes to
creating a film.
Because, like, what you were telling us earlier, or actually I think what I saw in even the crowdfunding film, is, like, 8 seconds costs a ton of money.
Like $33,000
or something like that to be able to do this.
Expensive.
So you're taking some of your buddies that you know and putting together to be able to tell the story. As, you know, scientists are talking about the things that are happening in these Eucharistic miracles. You need to be able to convey the story outside of, like, what you were saying, Angelo, of, like, just a talking head.
Right.
You know, discussing things that may be over other people's heads. So you need to be able to showcase and portray the story that's actually happening in a beautiful way. So that's why we're trying to raise
the
money.
Angela, here's the question I want to ask you. It's about this combination of faith and science that really the Catholic faith has embraced with both hands since the beginning. In this movie, you're not asking people to just believe in these miracles because trust us. Would you talk about the combination and the partnership that faith and science play in this film?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, everything, the reason why I accepted to do this movie and I proposed it was because I knew that Ray, he have like a really beautiful, it's called The Joy of Life on YouTube channel. That's where I found out about him. He's an engineer. So he talk that language, he understand that technical language, and he can presenting from that scientific point of view. Because the crowdfunding was more for Catholic, but this movie is more for the lukewarm Catholic, for Protestant, and for atheists. Because I think each of us, we have those friends or family that, I mean, they are more on the scientific kind of like a religion, like you were saying before. So this is like a just for them. I mean, so we have to unveiling and talking their language and showing that, I mean, it's not just some Catholic believing. I mean, because we are taking what the Christ say, which
would be good enough. Well, yeah, I mean, Jesus said it, so it would be good enough. But he knew that there would be some people in the world that would need, because he made some people scientifically minded. He made them that way, and he didn't just abandon them. He doesn't abandon them to this day. And even in modern times, there are still Eucharistic miracles going on. And so those things are signs that are meant for the non-believers that we should be championing. We should be shouting these things from the rooftop. Yep. And what I love about this movie is that it's not a one-time event. When you make the movie, it's made. It's going to be here forever, right? I mean, so it will be, how many people will be evangelized by this? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way of knowing. And I know that even people like me who takes their faith very seriously, I'm sure I will learn a lot from watching this movie.
Yeah, and I think it's a good way even to know how to presenting. I mean, we are going to interview some theologians as well, or here when you listen to the doctor, using the terminology helps so much as well. Because, I mean, it's like sometimes if you don't use the right terminology, it makes it look like you just come up in your mind. And I mean, right. It's not really from a biblical point of view. There is a specific terminology. Same things in theology. There is a specific terminology. And when you listen to Father Ripinger, for example, using those vocabulary that, I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas was using, empower and that make you believe it. I mean, that people know something more than you. I mean, it is a technical aspect.
Yeah, and I mean, as practicing Catholics who take their faith seriously, we know that there's a miracle that happens every single day. in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we know that the body, blood, and soul, and divinity of our Christ, of our Lord, is in this, you know, is transubstantiated into from bread and wine.
Right.
You know, so we know that there's a miracle that happens every single day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Every Mass is a Eucharistic miracle.
Right. But like, Angela, like you were saying in the last break when you were talking about the priest who didn't necessarily believe, and he, when he held up the body of Christ in consecration, it became real flesh. That blood and flesh was actually scientifically studied in 1971 by scientists, and it was revealed that it was actually still flesh. It was a cardiac heart flesh.
Yeah, I think it was the left ventricle.
Yeah, and the blood was still there.
Like, maybe it was the right ventricle.
It was still like fresh blood. It wasn't like, you know, this was 1,200 years ago. It wasn't like dried up blood. It was like acted like it was
like
it
fresh.
Just happened. So like. Again, Angela, this is why we need people like you to tell these stories, because I think we're not doing a good job of doing
it. Yeah. And especially who can do it in a beautiful way. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's, you totally nailed down, I mean, the problem is that one. Because, I mean, it's like there are the fact that the blood type is consistent with all those Eucharistic miracles.
Right.
Just that per se. It's one in a billion. I mean, already the blood type AB positive is something so unique, particular for the Jew people from that period of time, from the area. So
just AB positive was a unique blood type during that time. Is that what you said?
No. So I think if I remember correctly, AB positive is the blood that was being discovered in all these miracles.
Right.
But in America, in Europe, is not a typical blood type. But in that specific region where Christ was pretty kind of custom
from the Jewish community.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I think that per se, it's something supposed to converting everybody. I mean, because I mean, like, how can it be possible? It's been discovered this same blood type in so many different. But there are so many other ones. I mean, as you mentioned, the heart, they found a lack of, I mean, with the white cell and red cell, they was able to prove that a person, where the heart belonged and the blood belonged, was somebody was an extremely excruciating suffering. Mm-hmm. Almost was being beat to death. Come on, man. I was like, how really you want to, like, again, what we're going to do it is showing visually as well. I mean, all these kind of things with special effect, with live action and stuff. Because I really love the movie, The Case of Christ. Even it was like a little bit for the Protestant, but visually kind of went through this journey and proved the existence of Christ. And I think that this is going to be a journey for proving that the existence of the Christ in the Eucharist.
Angel, what was something that you learned while, you know, preparing for this, learning about it? You guys have already probably started shooting. I'm assuming you've shot some based off of the reel that you have. What's something that you have learned from this that you didn't realize that you were going to take away?
Yeah, so first of all, that there are some medical proofs, from these doctors, I mean, that Ray already interviewed, there are some evidence, some really physical problems from medical, and so that's like to be able to go there, Lanciano, Buenos Aires, and Tixla, and be able to visit, to see this and try to see for what we can do it to visualize it as well down there. But I knew, because I studied a little bit about Carlo Acutis, which we started doing this movie because we want to finish what he started. But I never heard about all these important medical and scientific things all together. I just heard one time one, and 2-3 years after another one, but your brain, it doesn't, I don't know, for me, probably can be just me, but when you listen something that is not on your, let's say, I mean, like when I listen something about movie, I can retain lots of information. But when I speak about something that is not, is the medicine or something else is not my everyday bread.
Right.
not retaining as much. So when I heard about all these Eucharistic miracles, I retain a really, really little and never all those information together. So I think what we are going to do in this movie, we are going to place all those information together and visually as well. So it's supposed to be something, hopefully, that more people can retain and really go home and really question it after.
Yeah, Juan, can you put up the website again? Just because I just want to once again, everybody, like, they're very, very close. What was the target? What's the target, Adam?
175,000.
175. They're at 159,000 right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
go check
guys,
it out.
This needs to happen. I mean, like... they've already got a lot of money behind this project. So go and support. Just give them whatever you can. Yeah. There's a lot of you who listen to this podcast. So if you just everybody gives a little bit, we'll get there.
Yeah. And remember, Jesus is just calling us. He's calling us towards
right.
him.
Right.
Go spend time with him in the Eucharist, in adoration.
Exactly. Spend an hour in adoration for the movie. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Angelo, thank you so much for hanging out with us this evening. It's been a true joy.
My pleasure. And if I can say something more, is when we put this budget, it's really low because we didn't take any fee for it.
Mm.
So we really try to, because I mean, if I just put my salary, it's got to be over the budget, just someone there.
Yeah.
So all of us, we are trying to really gain all these free times, because I mean, for minimizing the cost, because I know tendency usually a Catholic and I know like a Protestant donate a lot of money. But we had a lot of, hopefully we can have a little bit more of what we asked. I mean, we had, as you guys know, the guy down there didn't like what we were doing. And we had some extra expenses we didn't expect. I mean, recently we were supposed to go to fly to interviewing Tim Staple, because I mean, probably you guys know.
Yeah.
He's a good friend with your Como, the guy that do your show.
Yeah, Carlo. Yeah,
Carlo. Yeah, yeah.
Carlo. Yeah, yeah. So, but we had so many problems. The two cinematographers, the two cameramen were supposed to coming, one from Chicago, one from New York. The day before, one got sick for COVID, and the other one was 3 feet of snow. So they lost their flight. They couldn't bring their own camera equipment. So we had to spend like $6,000 just to renting stuff. So we already locked him and hiring some other people last minute. We never expected it's going to be so difficult, so many problems. So hopefully we raise the money a little bit more. But I mean, again, I'm not going to take nothing about it. I mean, and we try to be as transparent. We are going to showing all the expenses as well. So this way people are going to know that, I mean, this is just for Christ.
Yeah.
Mm, praise God, Angelo.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Yes. And if we can help in any way, Angelo, let us know. We're happy to just be a part of the team a little bit if we can. And we're thankful for, I'm very glad that you're in the breach with us and not against us.
The beard looks good. The beard looks good too, by the way.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason from St. Monica Parish in Edmond, Oklahoma.
It's A.D. Rodriguez here, coming from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Adam and David, this is Clint from Everson, Washington.
My name is John Klepek from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, my name is Brandon Gardner from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Hi guys, this is Dave from Nebraska.
Hey everybody, this is Tomas at Ultimo Cigars.
We're from Wisconsin. My name is Russell Yant.
Hey, Jonathan Conrad here from the Catholic Woodworker.
My name is Kyle Myers, and I live in Kearney, Nebraska.
My name is Fabrian from Toronto, Canada.
Hello, my name is David Biddle. I go to Most Precious Blood Parish in Tulsa.
My name is Kent, and I'm from Enid, Oklahoma.
Cameron Strachan here from St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada.
My name is Tom Duffy from Vermont.
Hi, this is Mike from Indiana.
My name is Jeff Houseworth, and I attend the Church of St. Benedict in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
It's been a great blessing in our lives. We love it. We look forward to it every week.
You guys were able to help me rekindle my faith.
we desperately need authentic, genuine Catholic men in our society and culture today. And they help create those men and strengthen the men that already are there.
While I was in the process of converting from Protestantism and discovered the show and was immediately hooked.
And it showed me what it means to be a Catholic man and how to take their faith seriously.
And as a husband and father, it's been a great blessing.
All the books I've read on Catholicism, most of them go in one ear and out the other, but Catholic Man Show sticks with me. I feel like I've learned more from it than anything else.
Also revitalized in me a willingness to stand up for my faith and defend it.
I love how Adam and David just take a lighthearted, carefree, and entertaining approach to the Catholic faith.
It's also kind of a place for me to just get some good thinking and get some good resources for how to reach out to the men in my parish.
I started going to daily mass because of encouragement from Catholic Man Show.
Putting out solid content, solid guests, and an entertaining show, and most importantly, orthodoxy.
Because of the impact it's had on my life and the impact I think it can have on other men's lives.
Catholic Radio has been quite a godsend on my journey and continues to solidify my faith, making me stronger than I ever was.
The Catholic Man Show has helped me to be a better friend, father, son, and to help me deepen my faith with my fellow brothers.
To be a better man, become stronger in the faith, and have opportunities to connect with other Catholic men.
No matter what topic Adam and David are talking about, the discussion always circles back to virtue. I've come to realize how essential virtue is in the life of a Catholic man.
With every episode, Dave, Adam, and their guests have inspired me to not only become a better man, but a stronger and more dedicated Catholic.
I'm so grateful for you guys sharing Jesus with all of us, sharing his love, sharing the mindset we all have to have.
That's made me a better man of God, a better youth minister, better boyfriend, better son, and I think it's going to make me a better future husband and father.
I've really learned about what it means to embrace authentic masculinity in a way that helps me be a better friend, a better father, a better husband, and a better leader in my parish. So thanks again, Adam and David.
Join us and other men who are taking their faith seriously at patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.